Hello and welcome to the third episode of the StudyClicks Explains Hamlet series. In this episode, StudyClicks expert teacher Peter Tobin will discuss the complex character of Hamlet. Peter Tobin is an English teacher who has a YouTube channel called Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, where you can find loads of free videos covering different parts of the Leaving Cert English course. We've linked his channel in the description, and we can't recommend enough that you check it out and subscribe to get updates on the new content he's making. In this episode, Peter will explore the dynamic character of Hamlet himself, map his character development throughout the play, and discuss how the events of the play impacted his psyche. The next voice you'll hear is Peter's, and we hope you enjoyed this episode.
So let's take a look at Hamlet himself first. The role of Hamlet is a challenge for any actor to play, perhaps the most challenging role in all of Shakespeare. And this is because of the ambiguity and uncertainty in the role. Is Hamlet the hero of the play or the villain? Why does he wait so long, delaying vengeance and constantly going over it in his mind? Is his behaviour towards his mother and Ophelia excusable based on the circumstances? Or is he a misogynist who despises women? The Shakespeare biographer Peter Ackroyd says that, in turn, Hamlet displays himself as ironic, sincere, obedient, despairing, disgusted, welcoming, questioning, disgusted, speculative, impetuous, angry, scholarly, antic, jocular, actorish, despairing, of mimic disposition, sarcastic, welcoming, speculative, despairing, exuberant, self-punishing, changeable, confused, contemptuous, actorous, courteous, playful, threatening, hesitant, fierce, scornful, rhetorical, bewildered, soul-searching, macabre, furious, mocking, stoical, parodic, and resigned. That is an impressive list, and it just goes to show how enigmatic Hamlet is. He even tells his mother, as well as his friends Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, that they don't fully know him. In fact, it seems that he fully doesn't know himself either. More than 100 years ago, the critic W.F. Trench said about Hamlet, "We find it hard with Shakespeare's help to understand Hamlet. Even Shakespeare himself, perhaps, found it hard to understand him. Hamlet finds it impossible to understand himself. Better able than other men to read the hearts and motives of others, he is yet quite unable to read his own." The reason for this complexity is that Hamlet is a character of contrasts between passion and reason, nobility and baseness, good and evil. In a way, he is representative of us all. We all have many sides and often don't always show our true selves in every situation. At the heart of the character of Hamlet is a conflict between passion and reason. In his soliloquies, he is driven by passion, by emotion, but at the end, is it reason that dominates? It is this conflict that drives much of the drama in the play. His father's ghost tasks him with taking revenge and killing Claudius, and yet he spends the majority of the playing humming and hawing over whether he should, talking about it non-stop instead of doing. We also have the impression that Hamlet is well loved and respected by others. Horatio, the character who knows him best, is devoted to him. Ophelia praises his character. He is loved by the people of Denmark to the point that Claudius, as the new king, is worried about losing the throne to him. But he also behaves terribly towards the female characters, kills without remorse, and leads his supposed friends to their deaths without a second thought. Can we reconcile this Hamlet with the good and virtuous Hamlet, the Hamlet that critics and commentators in the past have declared as the most noble and sympathetic of all Shakespeare's characters? To do this, I believe it's important we are able to explain his poor behaviour by looking at the events that befall him. And if we can do that, then it's possible to look at him in both lights. And if we can't do that, then perhaps Hamlet is, in the words of the poet T.S. Eliot, a neurotic and alienated from common or good society. We can also explain, if not justify, his behaviour when we consider what he was like before we meet him. We learn enough about Hamlet through his philosophical pronouncements in monologues and soliloquies to paint a picture of the sort of character he is before the action of the play begins. He has had a happy childhood. He loves and is loved by his parents. He has had a university education where he has learnt about beauty and art and the great achievements of man. He has close friends from his youth and also his closest companion Horatio, who is devoted to him. He has an idealised and optimistic view of the world, which is then brought into stark relief when he returns to Denmark to find his father murdered, his mother remarried to the murderer, and his close friends plotting against him after bending to the enticements of Claudius. Is it any wonder then that the Hamlet we see on the stage is an emotional mess? His worldview, his way of being, has been totally destroyed, and he must scrabble around in the dark trying to find some pieces of himself to put back together. If he isn't really mad and only pretending as a piece of cunning trickery, then we could easily excuse him. Let's take a look at some of the more complicated aspects of his character now. So we know that the Hamlet we see is in distress. He is not the perfect courtier that Ophelia refers to as the expectancy and rose of his fair state. He is shocked by his father's murder, and doubly so that his father's ghost has returned to encourage him to commit murder. Hamlet himself has some very unfavourable comments to make about himself. He tells Ophelia at one point that, "I could accuse myself of such things that it would be better my mother had not borne me." He would agree then with many of the things that critics have said about him and why he's such a complicated character. When we look at Hamlet's dealings with others, we see that often they are marked with bitterness, cynicism and hatred. He's cruel beyond justification to Gertrude and Ophelia, and he thoroughly enjoys the torment he dishes out to Claudius in the play within a play. Further to this, his interaction with Gertrude in Act 3 is a low point for Hamlet, with his obsessive insistence on lust and the corruption of human relationships. And when he kills Polonius, he is dismissive and petty, doing himself little credit. He does, however, show another side of his complex character to those whom he loves and respects. As we've already mentioned, Horatio is devoted to him and gives him the epitaph, "Now cracks a noble heart, good night, sweet prince." He also forgives Laertes, prevents Horatio's suicide, shows devotion and honour to his father's memory. In this light, we can see that the tragedy in the play is the descent of a good and noble young man, through facing family tragedy and disaster, into cynicism and bitterness. Despite the fact that the ghost focuses on Claudius' action and implores Hamlet to ignore Gertrude's actions, Hamlet focuses just as much on his mother's incestuous relationship with his uncle as he does on his uncle's murder of his father. This does much then to explain Hamlet's subsequent revulsion with the ideas of love and marriage. The tragic events that have befallen him and his family have not just taken his father from him, but also his innocence, his disposition, and his future happiness. Hamlet does, of course, delay his revenge. Events only really come to a head when the issue is forced by the other characters, Claudius and Laertes in particular. Does this reflect badly on Hamlet? That he is incapable or unwilling to take revenge on Claudius for murdering his father? Well, again, it depends on how you look at it. One could say that Hamlet doesn't exactly cover himself in glory in delaying constantly, talking about the facts of the case over and over again, indulging in self-obsession and melancholic thinking and treating everyone around him poorly while he's doing it. In this light, there's something of the moody teenager in him, rebelling against a task that should be a duty because he lacks courage and conviction. Alternatively, we could view the same chain of events as a positive for Hamlet's character. He has shown that he is capable of killing, either firsthand in the case of Polonius, or indirectly sending Rosencrantz and Guildenstern to their deaths. But he doubts the motives of the ghost until Claudius's guilt is revealed through the play within a play. Now this is admirable. You surely can't go around killing people at the behest of a ghost. And similarly, even though he is able to kill, he can't kill Claudius at prayer when he is vulnerable. He says it's because he doesn't want him to go to heaven with a cleansed soul, but we may suspect that the idea of murdering someone when they are vulnerable seems ignoble to him or low, maybe beneath him. He waits then, confident that Claudius will reveal himself, trap himself, and Hamlet will be able to carry out his vengeance in a way that maintains the audience's sympathy for him. Now this is very important, that as a tragic hero, Shakespeare maintains the audience's sympathy for Hamlet. If we were to see him murder Claudius while he prayed, it's unlikely we would be able to view him in the same way as we do at the end. Through this, Hamlet is able to maintain the moral high ground and occupy an elevated position in comparison to his enemies.
That concludes Peter's analysis of the character of Hamlet. We hope this helped you gain a deeper understanding of Hamlet and equipped you with ideas and phrases that you can use in your essays. Once again, if you enjoyed this, we would really encourage that you check out Peter's YouTube channel, Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, which is linked in the description. Trust us when we say this is an incredible free resource for 5th and 6th year students. And we hope you stay tuned for more content like this.